God bless.
Hello.
Hi, Jan.
Hi. Hey, everybody. Well, I'll share very briefly about who I am. I'm Jan Booth, and I was raised as a Roman Catholic. And when I went away to college when I was 17, my very favorite priest, who had been very close to our family, had gotten sick within the first couple of months that I went away. And so I went home to see him, and as it turned out, he had Lou Gehrig's disease. And he told me that God had given him this disease to make him humble. Now, at that time, I was quieter than a church mouse. I rarely said anything to anybody about anything, but I just remember something welled up inside of me, and I said, then I don't want your God. And if you die, I will never go back to Roman Catholic Church. Well, 3 weeks later, he was dead, and I was heartbroken, but I remembered that what I had said, and I was serious. I never went back. Well, after I graduated from college, I took a job in Michigan. I grew up in Chicago. But anyhow, every week I went to a different church because I was looking for God. And oh my goodness, every week I went home and crossed, well, not this one, not this one, not this one. I was just crossing churches off. Well, a couple years later, I had moved back to Chicago, and Ron and I had gotten married, and I still hadn't found a church. I still hadn't found the truth. I just knew that when I heard it, I would know. And so I had a roommate, a former roommate from college, who had gotten saved after we graduated, and I had resisted going to church with her because she was of the variety that she only wore skirts and fasted 3 times a week, and, you know, she tended to shun everything that was fun, it seemed. But I figured, well, maybe she does have the truth. I'll check it out. And so I was scheduled to go to Easter Sunday sunrise service with her, but that Friday before Easter, I came home and found our laundry in the middle of the floor, and Ron had said he would go to the laundromat that day, but he didn't make it. And so I just remember standing there looking at the laundry, and very unlike me, said, all things work together for good to them that love God. I'll do the laundry tomorrow. The next day, I went to the laundromat, and there was a guy there washing windows. But he stopped and took the time to open the door for me and Ron as we came in. And that person was Barney Barnhart, and the rest is history. I went to my first fellowship the next day, and the next day started PFAL. So God was very good to me. He honored my heart to find him. He wasn't lost, but I sure was. But he certainly made his truth available to me. And when I heard the word that Barney shared with me, and he went right to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and taught me manifestations of Holy Spirit, I knew I was hearing the truth. So anyhow, that's a little bit about me, but tonight I would like to share with you something that kind of sparked in my heart on Saturday night when Bob taught the word. He did a wonderful teaching on the many faces of glory, and he ended his sharing by reminding us that we need to remember how special we are and that we need to do all to the glory of God. Well, you know, he wasn't just whistling Dixie. We do need to remember how special we are, and we do everything to the glory of God. So that got me thinking about the ways in our world in which we show someone that they are special. For instance, in sports, the top teams win a trophy or are awarded medals. Like in the Olympics, they get the gold, silver, or bronze. And in government, high-ranking officials receive special honors. For example, the playing of Hail to the Chief for the President of the United States. Or at a party, the guest of honor might wear a tiara or a crown. Well, in the spiritual realm, God certainly gave us something special to designate that we are special to him and to this world, and that's what I'd like to look at tonight. So if you turn to John 17, this is something that Bob went over on Saturday, so I'm not going to elaborate too much, but I want to remind you of what it says in John 17, verse 22. It says, "And the glory which thou gavest me," and this is Jesus Christ speaking, he said, "I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." So what glory did God give to Jesus Christ? Well, if you turn to Psalm 8, we'll start in verse 5. It says, "For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels." And that word for angels is Elohim. It's actually the word God. "Thou hast made him a little lower than God and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet." In the Lord's earthly ministry, he bore witness to this prophecy about himself. He commanded the seas and stilled them. He healed sickness and disease. He cast out devils. He multiplied provision. He definitely demonstrated that he had dominion over the works of God's hand. The glory that he had was the manifested power of the Spirit of God within him. This glory and honor is ours as sons of God because we are in Christ. This should be evident to all of those who see us, that there is something very special about us. This is a tangible glory that can be seen. For instance, if the Lord Jesus Christ were to walk into the room where you are right now, this glory would be visible and resplendent. You would know that you were looking at Jesus Christ. Now, there are also future rewards that the Bible talks about. Ephesians 2:7 says that in the ages to come, he, God, might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So I want to look at the future rewards. So keep in mind, we currently have the crown of honor and glory, but there are future rewards that can be awarded after the return of Christ. So the first is the crown of glory. And this is for the believer who is a leader in the church, that is someone who has one of the five gift ministries, and leads according to godly standards. It is also for the believers who respond in a godly manner toward leadership. So in essence, that means there is a total lack of manipulation on either side. And, we've all maybe been involved in situations where leaders were not quite the best and maybe took advantage of the people, but that also happens where the people try to manipulate the leader. But in any case, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So that's the reference to the leaders receiving the crown of glory. And here in, turn to Matthew chapter 10, verse, we'll start in verse 41. It says, he that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive, lambano, a prophet's reward. So just because someone is not a leader necessarily have a gift ministry, it doesn't mean that he is not eligible for the crown of glory. The next crown we'll look at is the crown incorruptible. And this is for the believer who decides to run the race in life and to engage the opponent and win. This involves mastery over the sinful nature through spiritual discipline. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we'll start in verse 24. It says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air or shadow boxes, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself shall be a castaway. So this talks about getting involved in this race of life. That means we have to take risks. We have to leave our comfort zone and go do the works that God has called us to do. Now, the next crown we'll look at is the crown of life. And this is for the believer who endures trials, tribulation, and persecution for Christ's sake. James chapter 1. In verse 12, it says, blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. That word endure means to remain or abide and not recede or flee. It means to persevere under misfortunes and trials and to hold fast to one's faith in Christ under these circumstances. And tried means to be tried and found acceptable and pleasing. So blessed is the man who hangs in there when tempted. For when he is tried and accepted, he shall receive the crown of life. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 11 says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Another example is Jesus Christ in the garden, where he really wanted another way out, but he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Sometimes we always often want God to send a rescue, send a helicopter to get me out of this mess. But sometimes, rather than preferring rescue, it's far greater to receive the reward for enduring, allowing God to lead us through these challenging situations. The next is the crown of rejoicing. And this is for the believer who brings others to the knowledge of salvation through Jesus Christ. Man originally belonged to God, but was lost as a result of Adam's fall. When a believer returns a lost soul to the Father rejoices greatly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse 19, it says, "What is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy." In John chapter 4, Jesus Christ was talking about the harvest. In verse 35, it says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." And the last crown that we will look at is the crown of righteousness. And this is for the believer who looks for the appearing of the Lord. We just can't get so wrapped up in what's going on in the world and what the world has to offer that the return of Christ is unsavory. Have you ever had someone say, "Well, as soon as I get married, then the Lord can come back," or "as soon as I have my dream home," or "as soon as I get this promotion"? No, we must always put God's plans before our own. 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 6, we'll start, "For I am now ready to be offered." And this is Paul at the end of his life. "I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." In recent days, when I go out to the grocery store or the post office or whatever, I've had many opportunities to share the word with people. And one of the things that I ask them about is if they know that the Lord is going to come back someday. And some people look like I hit them with a skillet, and others look like I must be a Looney Tunes. It's the rare person who knows that the Lord is supposed to return according to Scripture. But it must be something that God really wants us to be aware of and have in our thinking, because he offers a reward for those who look for the Lord's appearing. So we will close in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll start in verse 1. It says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of light and the children of the day. Ye are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." All of this is available to us because we believed on Jesus Christ and chose to carry out the good works that God has prepared for us to do. Not because we were so great, but because our Lord and Savior is so great. So what a wonderful life we have been given. Not only do we have a crown that we can wear through this life, but there are 5 crowns available for us to have for all of eternity. So what a privilege we have to be children of the Most High God. God bless you.